You want more light?
No, I don't need light. I don't need light. Don't need electricity. I need a little chair and I'm ready.
Can you see good enough there?
I don't have to see.
Your eyes are better than mine. Well, I know
they are
that, but
never
have what
you
do for.
As long as I can hear you, I'm in business.
Oh, okay. You don't have to see.
November 1st.
Did you think of anything we should add to it? Yeah, well, I told her, you know, I spent about 40 years leading singing down here at church. And I don't know how many years I led the chorus. But it was when Jane Burkholder left, and I took over. And I don't know.
But after the course, I come to stop having it. It gets
harder and harder. After a while, people get tired coming out, you know. And all it was a problem. Someone just wanted to come out when you had a program, you know. We had 30 in there for a while. And when I was leading, we went up to Harrisonburg a couple times. And we went up to Greenwood, Delaware one time. So that was part of my life, I guess.
How old were you the first time you led the thing in there?
Yeah, I don't know. I really got a thing with the quartet. Harold and Vern French and so. About 1940, I think, when I was about 20, let's see. 23, 43, I would say, let's say about 43. And somebody got married. I don't have any idea who it was, but Dan Smooker was singing with that quartet. And he was in Harrisonburg, and I was supposed to just fill in for him until he got down here, and he could take it. But when he got down here, he said, no, if you can sing with us, he wouldn't do it. So from then on, I was in, I guess. So. Sam Kurtz had Christian and Irvin, you don't even know Irvin, you know, Christy Kurtz's dad. And he had a singing class for the older people, I'm sure. But I went along with my folks as a young teenager and learned to read shape notes. I learned the notes and kind of the rudiments of music right there, and that's the only music that I ever had. And of course, I played the mandolin a lot along with that time. It evolved, I guess.
Is that where most of the people in the church learned how to read music?
I believe so. I think I heard Francis say that not too long ago, that he learned. He went up to a 6-week Bible term up at school, and he learned more of the rudiments of music. But I guess that, of course, that you grow up with it, well, it becomes a little more natural.
I thought it was filling at the 100th anniversary. There was nobody under 40 who was singing, or very few under 40 who were singing.
Give it another 20 years, there won't be any under 60 or whatever. That's right. Yeah, so we've got to have the best four-part harmony music. And they're dropping it. I mean, they're leaving. It's leaving.
Did they sing four-part harmony before Sam Kurtz had his plan?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, other people knew it. He was just teaching them.
Yeah, they did. But I don't know where he coming in here from Ohio. I guess he drove it somewhere.
Well, did the Kurtzes move in? The Kurtzes moved in after your dad did?
I don't know. About the same time I met him. Same time as both Walter and Miller. I think Sam Kurtz's Kurtzes would have probably come in a little later, maybe.
And he bought the place and built the house beside the church there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he also owned a little place up there by Chester Thompson's place.
Oh, really?
And how was that?
No.
They traded around some kind of way. And I don't know, Harold Bookwater could get on that, I'm sure. But there was some trading there. Sam Kurtz traded Grandpa Bookwater that place up there.
were the Schwartzes, Leslie Schwartz and
his parents,
were his parents ones, were the first ones that came here? His parents were the first to came here?
Yeah, and that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And they, his dad built the house where he lived all his life?
I don't know if that was an old house that was there or if they had it built. I was just kind of opinion that it was already there, so I don't know.
And then the Clendenings, I guess, came in from the same area of, what did you say, Michigan?
Oh, really?
Them and the Schwartzes all come in from Michigan.
Did they know each other out there?
I don't know.
Pure coincidence. Well, the Clendenings were Mennonites, though, weren't they?
I've read that too, but I don't know. Yeah, I think they had some Mennonite leanings because, and I understand that they had church service in the Methodist Church.
Yeah.
Or the Mennonites. At different times. Evidently, and then, let's see.
Yeah, there was somebody talking about that at the 100th reunion, that the there wasn't a Mennonite church on
there. No, there wasn't a church
here. So they just joined in with the Methodists, and there were enough to have a Mennonite church.
And they got enough. Kind of opinion that it was forced to stay with the Mennonite, which the Methodists, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but she was still there.
Huh?
Not until the day she died. She was
right. I think, I would guess Leslie Schwartz was a member down here. Him and my dad were real big buddies.
Oh, really? I remember him at, the guys used to go to Dwight Miller's on Saturday night, or my dad, anyway, pick up groceries.
Do you remember going down there?
Oh, yeah. If you hid in the car, and you made it all the way to school without Daddy finding you, then you can stay and
hang out. Then you were already there.
You were there. So you can stay. And I remember Lester talking about when he was a young fellow, he would ride his horse past the D.R. Miller store.
Yeah.
D.R. Miller store just as hard as he could ride, because he knew it meant D.R. Miller man.
Oh, okay.
Just didn't ride that horse that hard.
And then when he got cars, he did the same thing as Dwight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, let's tear tonight down the store. That's the only hangout around here for a while.
Catch up on all the gossip for the past week.
Huh?
You could catch up on all the gossip.
That was our TV. In fact, Dwight had a radio, and nobody had radios, but Dwight had one there in the back of the store.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember going back there as a boy, and nobody else was listening to the radio. I'd go back there and get Nashville or country music, you know. It was toward the back of the store, so it didn't bother him.
This was on the old store or the new store?
No, the old store.
The old store, back up there.
I helped build the new store.
That's what I said. I thought you were a little older than that.
I worked with my dad when I first got out of school. And, I can pretty well remember who I worked on, because that was a big project now for Country Carpenter to build that big building, you know. And it was my uncle, Harvey Booth, was down here taking care of Grandpa Bookwalter's for a year or two there. Came down here and stayed with them, and he worked with my dad, Carpenter, on that store. And then there was Bruce Powers, who was a native, the guy that stuttered right there. his house. That's in 1950. Why, he worked for my dad, I know. In a long time, a number of years on either side of that.
I can remember Luther barely.
Do you remember?
He used to come to our church when I was a little kid.
Oh, yeah.
And bring the grandchildren.
Well, I don't know if Luther came, but...
Yeah, he did.
Did he?
Mm-hmm. Because yeah. he was the one that brought Kay and Lee and
that's
Wayne
right.
and Thomas
yeah.
and...
Yeah. Oh, whatever
Keith.
Happened to all that Buick.
Well, the Kay's family, her daddy moved to Carolina and has since died.
Is that right?
But her mom was still living.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, then it was, besides those two, it was George Bronk helped on it. And my dad. I don't know who this is. I can't remember any others. There was probably maybe a couple others. That was a big project. Same time when we got it up to the first floor, to the second floor, we put the floor down, and then we could, when we were working up there, you had a good, they were building the airport, and we'd watch these big old plans and big equipment, and none of that, we had never seen that kind of equipment.
And have they already changed Mount Pleasant Road then to cut off the...
Well, they did that when the airport took over, when their airport bought their property. Then they run the Mount Pleasant Road back along the swamp, on the high ground right next to the swamp.
Okay, I'm talking between Carter Road and Boyce Store. There was a time
that was the old Mount Pleasant Road, or I don't know what I guess they called it Mount Pleasant Road. It must have changed it.
Okay, but it was there when in your memory. I mean,
yeah,
I remember it was there then.
It went to the store,
okay.
The old schoolhouse store, and there was a, he had a, what you call a grist mill on the other side of the road, mm-hmm. over where that big oak tree is. Ground corn.
Okay, but the part of Mount Pleasant that runs past Olin's place and the first place you hit, that wasn't there then, right?
No.
That came
it went down past the store, down past Mount Pleasant. That's the church.
Right.
Straight on through, right on past Francis.
I can remember that.
So, but the other road, the road going straight through by Olin's there,
when did they put that in?
It had to be when they built the airport.
Because it's been there all of my memory.
Is that right? Well, yeah, it would have been. See, I'm trying to think when I worked with Dad on that building. It had to have been in the early 40s, but I don't. Yeah, that went right down by what we know as the Coca-Cola farm down there.
Yeah.
Past the church.
How did that place get that name? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, the guy owned it. Some rich guy. Coca-Cola.
Oh, okay.
That owned it.
Yeah. Coca-Cola farm.
And it was quite a show place. I mean, it was.
Oh, really?
Day. Oh, yeah. It was a deep brick house. And then as you get down past the church, and you go through kind of a little ravine, and on the right hand side was a convict camp that they had there. Then later it was the CC Steamboard camp. But that they put that there when they were building Mount Pleasant Road.
Okay.
And they had them convicts to do the heavy work.
Hmm.
And on the other side of the road, across from that later then, was Keely Miller's store. That was the hangout later. You remember that one?
I remember Keely Miller's store. I remember the name, but...
Yeah, Keely Miller.
Where was that?
And so did Orris Miller's blacksmith shop.
Right, Orris Miller's and Rion, I remember.
Yeah, okay.
And that big junk haul beside Orris.
Right, okay. But when the Navy bought all that land, yeah. Why, they pushed them out and put the roads behind it. Mm-hmm.
Well, where was Keely Miller's store?
It would have been just, let's see, you had, well, you said you remember Rion's.
Remember Rion's. Was it right there in that intersection?
Yeah, well, it was just the next half, probably just a few hundred yards on down east of Rion.
Okay.
And then, on down past that, when you get down to what's the intersection now, was Lewis Mercer's store, bootleg joint.
Mm-hmm.
And, Uncle Abe, at that time, he wasn't in the church at all. He wasn't a Christian at all. But, and he worked for Lewis Mercer.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. He could tell you some tales about it.
Elsie, I see which one she was married to. It wasn't Lewis, but it was one of the brothers.
Was
it the Methodist Elsie Mercer?
Oh, yeah.
Sang in the choir at the Methodist Church.
Oh, yeah. She wasn't the first. She married Elmo. Elmo Mercer.
She could tell some stories, too.
I bet. Yeah. She got it firsthand.
Well, wasn't there a store in the Melson store?
Melson? Yeah.
Back up from
Brandon's, where Carson lived.
Okay, Carson. I bet there was another store. But I remember when I was coming up, just a youngster was back, just this side of Franceton, before they moved the road out into the swamp, when there was still a road there. And it sat kind of in the middle of a few of those little dinky
farms. Well, that would have probably been Lewis Mercer's store. I don't know what I know was there. Then right across, of course, the road didn't make that jog. It went right straight
right. Right
from the church where it don't pass French. And Francis built his house about the same time we built this one, so the airport would have already been there, I guess.
Yeah, because I remember when you bricked it.
Is that right?
So
yeah,
we came back and they were laying land bricks. I was only about 6 or 5 years old.
Yeah, we lived in it a year. We did it, wrapped it up with tar paper.
Yeah.
Lived in it a year like that, and then put the bricks on.
So you were ahead of Ray Hobbs?
Huh?
Ray Hobbs, how long did he live in a tar paper house? Wasn't it a long time?
Yeah. Well, right then, that was
didn't Milan Hustle have his tar paper too for a while before it bricked?
I don't remember. He built this house up here, but I don't remember that.
But I remember them living on the bus.
A lot of people did that.
Yeah, I mean, it was,
you know, out in Ohio, they built the cellar and live in that,
yeah.
You know. But around here, you drown in the cellar. But so we did that. There wasn't no law against it at that time. You know, didn't have to have a permit or anything else. We'll do that.
I can still remember Milan and Martha living in that old converted bus.
I believe you're right. Yeah, I had a bus there.
The city bus he converted. I was just real little, and I remember we were back there visiting. I was with Mama.
Yeah.
And she was showing Mama a sewing machine she had. And she said, she got this for a song. And I was thinking, man, Martha went to the store and sang a song.
Well, I'm done with
you. I just couldn't imagine. I mean, that young, you don't know anything.
My dad tells the little guy, having dinner and he wanted any gravy. Oh, my middle name's Gravy. That's the strangest thing he's ever heard. Gravy.
What's the biggest change that you've seen in the community over your lifetime?
That's good, right? Well, I was born in 1923. And the machine age was just coming on goodly long about then. You know, 1923, well, give me a couple of years to say, 28 or 30, and our first car that I remember was a 1928 Model A Ford, and then airplanes, you know, airplanes, whenever you see an airplane, I remember running from here over to Harold Clinton, and he lived there where Kathy Silsler, or where
Judy.
Yeah, right, Judy. That's where Earl Clinton all lived along. And I remember an airplane of, you know, just a single engine Cub or something came down. I don't know if he had. I think he had a little trouble or something. And he'd come down in a field or whatever. On the airport, there was no airport there then. And man, that was the highlight of the day, getting that close to an airplane.
Mm-hmm. For the many, they had more people stationed at the base there during the war, didn't they?
Oh yeah, yeah. There was a bunch of barracks, and yeah, they had quite a contingent in. And they kept airplanes there. They didn't, you know, took off there to practice. And,
was there much interaction between the guys, the boys at the base, and the folks in the community?
No, not really.
How about the girls in the neighborhood?
That's what I meant. You'll have to get Dorothy Winger involved in that
one. Dorothy Winger.
Yeah. And there was Melvin. He interacted with them. And he'd go down there and Kirkendall. Kirkendall was the chief down there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Navy chief. And Melvin would go down there and watch TV. And said, Father Melvin, he'd go to sleep, and they'd go to bed. In the morning sometime, Melvin would wake up and get on home, I guess. Maybe it's time for chores, huh?
Is Melvin still in the hospital?
That's what I was going to ask you. I wondered.
I just saw it in the church bulletin.
That's all I knew about it. Yeah.
What's in the hospital for?
An infection. That's all it said. Some kind of an infection. But Harold Berge didn't ask me to send flowers to him when he told me to send them to Joyce Kaffer and Francis Miller. So
yeah.
Maybe he came back home already. Or.
I don't know.
Well, is Homer about your age or... Younger.
He's a little bit younger. Let's see. John is just a little bit older, and Homer just a year or two, maybe 2 years younger. And Herbert Harrell's age is almost 10 years younger.
I didn't realize you were that much older than Dad. You were about 5 years older than Dad?
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Dad was born in 28, wasn't he?
I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Is that right? Yeah, I can remember when he come back from East stayed at our place there for a year or two.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And, you know, they kind of boarded them all out.
Well, they were all over the place.
Old Grandpa Roy wouldn't support them. And I don't know if he was even around then. But, so they decided to put them out. And Johnny stayed at our place. And I forget who stayed at Harold or Abe's place. I don't know.
I just know they lived all over the place.
Yeah.
For a while. Their grandma was. How did they put it? Granddaddy was in Huntington living with somebody we just knew as that old bat.
Yeah. Quote Grandma.
Well, that was the only name I ever heard her called by in the whole family. If anybody referred to her, that old bat.
He was different. He never, I'm sure he didn't let us know it.
Yeah, you did.
Did you know him?
Yes, so. He was absolutely the most argumentative,
yeah,
dumbest
right.
man I ever met in my life.
Exactly. Yes, yeah, sir. If you were on one side, he'd be on the other. Sorry.
So you're right. Come get me.
No, he can't.
That's nothing Daddy wouldn't have said about him even.
Oh, he was.
Yeah.
He was something.
And in later years, then he's, first of all, I don't think he even owned a car for long. But anyway, he rode a railroad because he could ride that free. But he had a car in his later years. Probably after he retired. And he'd drive, well, one thing is a story that I always remember. I wasn't there, but he drove up to Pennsylvania, Lancaster, to Effort, where the and some of the summers that was there. And Clayton summers would have been Aunt Mary and Clayton Summers. Well, they were the same age as my parents. But anyway, they went up there and always had that dog that your dad puts in there about in his book about the dog. And yeah, goes in there in his own way. Throws the dog over on Clay Summers' lap, he said. Well, if you know Clay Summers, dogs probably were low priority on his start. And Leroy Keffer wasn't any better. he said, here, go to your Uncle Clay. Boom. Good night, I heard again. Don't call me an uncle to no dog. I'm sure there's a lot more sense than that. That always impressed me.
It would make Mama mad every time he came to town. He'd get fired up.
Yeah.
In fact, when he had the dog, he wouldn't come in the house because Mama didn't allow the dogs.
Right.
My dog's not good enough for my dog. It's not good enough for me.
Right.
He'd come to the house and stay outside. Do you remember Granddaddy at all?
Yeah.
Do you?
He used to chase us girls around trying to give us a hug.
You talk
about some fast characters, buddy. He never called any of us, and he'd say, "What's wrong with these girls, Johnny? I think they probably let you hug them." And Daddy says, "No, they don't. They do the same thing when I chase them around."
That sounds like it. Yeah.
We were scared to death of him.
I can imagine.
Scared to death of him.
Yeah,
because he's so big and rough.
He'd go to a filling station and get a drink. You know, his little kids, your dad, his siblings standing around him, he wouldn't give them that. He was different, I'll tell you what.
Right here.
I guess you come by your oddity natural to them, maybe.
By my what?
Your oddness.
Oh, maybe my argumentative too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's hard to believe that Daddy was such a giving person.
I know.
To come from that.
It didn't come by it honestly.
He, unless he got it from Grandma.
No, but if he got his back up. Daddy can also be. Titus was not Moab's son, right?
No.
She was from...
she'd have been a stiff one. That's the kind of story we had. See, but she's about 15 years younger than Clayton Murray. Mm-hmm. Maud, his second wife,
right?
And she'd be near Titus's age, you know. And the story goes that old boy Murray, after his wife died, asked Titus, "What would you think if we had to, if Maud lived here with us?" Or something to that effect. Titus said, "You don't expect me to marry her, do you?" He said, "No, I'll take care of that." So the old man did have his
Now, she was the only daughter for E.R. Miller, right?
Maud.
Right. But wasn't she?
Let's see, I believe, let's see, he had Ernest and Martin and the boy, But yeah, Maud would have been the only daughter.
If Clarice's wife came from Oregon?
No. No, she was come right up here. Her name was Kin, King, K-I-N-G, and lived right where Kiff lived.
Okay.
Quite out on the hill. Well, that was the, at the corner there. And I can remember an old red barn that the Kings had there. And he had a number of shoes that he carried. But the Oregon part comes when two of Carrie's sisters moved to Oregon with the old man when their mother died, I think.
Okay.
Carrie never went out there. But the others stayed out there. And I've seen them. Well, not now anymore, the kid, but Ada and Myra. They were Kings from here. They married Crooks up here in Oregon.
So you all saw them on your trip up there, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I've seen them, you know, when we go out to Mrs. Barn, we'd see them, too. But it's been quite a little while ago now, but they died off.
Now, Leona was a Miller. She was her dad was Roman? Roy. No.
Leona. Merle's
Leona
wife.
Leona and Judy and Phil.
Phil.
Their dad was, oh, Francis Miller.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But they did they grow up here too? Were they
no, they in? Moved in here when I was an older teenager, and Phil, he's about 2 years older than I am. They come in here, and we run around together pretty much.
Where did they come from?
Indiana. But he homesteaded, old man, look, homesteaded out in Montana.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Oh, he's mad.
That story.
Hey, you don't have to be around him. I wouldn't have had to be around him. He told you anyway. Then they moved back, I don't know how, they come here from Indiana, Napanee.
Was there anybody in the community here that died during the flu epidemic of 1918?
Not that I know of, but they could have, I don't know. See, what year was that? 18, you say?
1918.
Oh, it was 1912.
No, 18.
1910, when the basically the church really took off, and they built the church, and so there wasn't too many there here at that time. Sorry, those memories.
I know. I never. When I was working in Suffolk, there was an old man out there. He used to come by the store a lot, and he would have been. I guess he was an early teenager in 1918. And he talked about driving a dead wagon to Suffolk, and people would bring bodies out and put him in the wagon. They were dying, so
gather them up,
take them off to the funeral home, and then
to the van. Yeah, that's pretty tight. And this old grave, I suppose those graves, there's some old graves here before the Mennonites had that cemetery.
Oh, really?
And I think some of those date back to well, about that time. Fentress is mainly there, but there's some others too. And I don't know if this is noteworthy. But of course, used to the Mennonites all you get together and dig the grave and throw a little dirt back in there when you're done with it. I helped dig some of them. And I know on a couple of occasions we'd dig into an old grave.
Oh, really?
Yeah, of course, it wasn't up there, but you'd get a some of them old coffins had glass. Of course, that didn't deteriorate, but glass was there, and the brass handles on the coffin, they didn't deteriorate. And you could see the outline of the, because they didn't have no vaults. You could see the outline of the casket, black outline, where it was. Of course, it was all filled in. Bones, but you did something that kind of made me hair that don't deteriorate, not like the rest of you. So, and they say it keeps on growing a little bit after you did. I don't know. You just heard that the other day.
And your fingernails, supposedly, they say keep growing.
Is that right?
That's what Dear Abby, I've read it in Dear Abby.
No, what really happens is your skin recedes just a little bit, and it looks like it keeps growing.
The other shrinks back, and it was, but they say, what was the question when we watched TV the other night? What three parts of your body keep growing? In other words, not necessarily after dead, but grow from childhood on, they never stop growing. Yeah. What three body parts?
Your fingernails with them, what the third one would be?
I think you said hair. And your ears.
That's right.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Your ears will get bigger.
Is that why old? Okay.
Ears will get bigger. You can cover yours up with hair. But ears and hair. What was the other one? Oh, nose. They said on TV. Nose.
And your feet.
Oh, that's right. Your feet.
Huh.
I don't know.
Your ears, your nose, and your feet.
Yeah, they didn't mention hair.
Huh.
I think it had to go for you. I believe it did say it keeps on growing. But yeah, so I've got some graves down there that struck where the old grave was, because when I took it over, there wasn't any stones, there was no wooden stake or something, you know, and boom, everything was all gone.
So what to do with it? Keep on going.
So
what did they do when they hit an old grave? Just keep on going.
Yeah. It was very hard to visible. But if there was any like glass and stuff, you put a little hole down the bottom and drop it down in there.
Aren't you still the cemetery custodian for that church?
Me, I guess. Kind of a lifetime.
It must be, because I think you're the only one I've ever known.
Yeah, well, Francis had it before I did.
Oh, he did?
And when he started doing all the traveling, well, he said, he's done with it, so then I got it. Well, it's the kind of thing if you don't, because they don't want to just turn it over every year to somebody else, you know, because I got the plaque.
How many more grave sites do they have up there?
Well,
With me if it got filled up before I got there.
I didn't have
fascinated that Francis dated Lizzie before he dated Edna.
Is that right?
And oh, Edna, yeah, yeah, Edna yeah. told us he always did like Lizzie better.
I'm sure it,
When we do Francis's, we're going to have to have the inserts from Edna because she has comments.
Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah.
She
yeah.
really
yeah.
she
right
almost needs,
on the button.
She needs yeah. her own chapter, I think.
She always has a word.
Yes, she is fascinating.
Yeah.
She needs her own show. Matter of fact. Well, did you work anywhere besides the dairy? Was that your whole life
job? Just my dad,
carpenter and Yoder Dairy. Were you ever robbed on the route?
No, back in those days, it wasn't much of that. Nobody did that much. It was pretty safe out there. But as I got old, I mean, before I left there, it was starting to be kind of questionable. I know one guy, Reed Broadwater, somebody run him, he run round and round the truck there for a time. And, Reed jumped in the truck, pulled out on that handle, shut the door on the guy's arm. That made him pretty mad. Anyhow, then Reed, when the guy got in, pulled the door open, and then Reed went out the other side and then around the door, and they finally ended up on somebody's porch. Reed trying to get their attention, but nobody come out. It was downtown there. That was the only one that really, while I was there.
You worked at the bridge for the city, didn't you?
That was after I left there. I'm still collecting from the city of Chesapeake for that one. I worked there about 7 years. And I got a retirement of about $200 a week, a month.
Yeah, worthwhile.
He tell me about it. Could hardly make it if it didn't have that.
Was that the Centerville Bridge or North Landing?
Steel Bridge.
Oh, up at?
On up the Dominion Boulevard.
Oh, I didn't realize.
That was the newest and the nicest bridge that they had.
Did you ever work the high-rise bridge?
No, I never worked at any other bridge. Vernon worked up here at Turnpike.
Yeah.
He left there for Florida about the same time that I started at the Steel Bridge. No concrete all in years, I tell you. She thinks I ought to still be working here.
Yeah. Said he could work till he's 100 years old. Got to thinking about this Social Security that if he quit, why he'd get almost as much there.
Yeah,
as
with
made from the bridge. So.
With their retirement, after you worked here 5 years, then you qualified. Get paid for retirement. And with what they were paying me, which wasn't a great lot, and my Social Security, I made about the same amount by not going up there. Well, it was an easy job. It wasn't that easy. I mean,
you did have to be there.
Yeah, he wanted to be there. Had an awful lot of time off. Good job.
Where did Roberta come from? She was
Harrisonburg.
She was in Harrisonburg. Uncle Abe met her in Harrisonburg.
Yeah. He met her down here. A.D. Winger, who was one of the first, maybe the second president of Eastern Mennonite School. That time, high school, college. But anyway. And he was a preacher here. And they had this vineyard, and he would bring some of the kids from up there at Harrisonburg down here to work in the vineyard in the summertime between school and no school. And she come down, understand, she came down with the wankers. I don't know any more details than that, but
that's usually all it takes.
Yeah, that's right.
In close proximity.
That's what I said. I said, was our 50th anniversary or one of them down there at the church? I said, what are the chances of a kid down here in south, right down here in the very southeast corner of Virginia, meeting up with some girl from Ohio by way of Harrisonburg? I said, it's like winning the lottery, and I thought I had.
How long have y'all been married now?
62 years. January.
Wow.
Yeah, tell me about it. That's what I said.
62, and I'm just getting ready to have 26. They got the number.
Is that right? Turn
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there December will be 26.
Hey, that's pretty good. Yeah. Oh. But we didn't meet in Harrisonburg. They lived in, I'll give the old man credit, he was Mennonite, and education wasn't a real great thing back in those days, but he moved from Ohio.
I think you told him that the other time.
You know, he moved down to, from Ohio to Harrisonburg. That's something you'll do when you're older, too.
Well, I tried that too, but Linda
forgets.
She don't remember.
That's right.
Of course, if she forgets anymore, I won't be able to let her out of the house without a rope.
Repeat yourself, but you're not supposed to change the story, Ivan.
Well, now that's the buckle of the truth there. You can't prove a story, don't tell it.
I've heard that before. Isn't it called the buckle of the truth? It's called the Miller Stretch. Miller Stretch.
Well, then you're just doomed because the Buckwaters like to elaborate, too.
Yeah, right. They got a double dose of it.
Yeah. You ought to really tell a good tall tale.
Grandma was expecting it.
You don't believe it? Ask Mama.
Is that right?
So what's the story on Francis? He's going to be pretty sick?
You know, I don't know.